So we have with us here today, Richie and Christy Boutier. They are the missionary family in Brazil that we support. So say hello to them this morning, Richie and Christy. Good morning. I'm glad that we could at least have some interaction here, online at least. So good to see you guys. Richie, question for you. How long have you been doing missionary work in Brazil? And why is the Clean Water Filter Project a passion of yours?
We've been in Brazil, I guess, working for about 23 years now. And we're just, the Water Filter Project is something that we're so excited about just because, you know, I think one of the things that causes so much suffering is just, you know, the lack of sanitation and dirty water down here. And it's just a real practical way that we can kind of show people love. But, for example, I've been sick probably for the last 2 days, probably something that I ate or drank, and it's just miserable. And, you know, by providing clean water to people, it's just something that we can do in a real practical way just to show the love of Jesus.
Amen. That's awesome. That is awesome. So, okay, so, Christy, you guys have been doing ministry work over 20 years in Brazil, missions work. What is one of your favorite things when it comes to ministering to the people who live on the rivers?
Well, one thing that I really enjoy is just how well received we are. Anytime we go on the river and we stop and visit, the people are just so grateful that we would take the time to come and to just visit their homes and where they live and show them that we're actually interested in them and concerned about their health and their who they are and that we want to provide filters for them, but also that we're concerned about them spiritually.
Amen. That is awesome. Okay, good deal. And then, so Richie, do you have a story, a testimony of somebody who recently received a water filter that you can share with us?
Sure. Let's not only ask for one story, though. There's so many. It's been a lot of years doing water filters. But, you know, just as I'm thinking about it this morning, one story that really stands out was this one community called Cupari. There was another community called Bom Jesus where we planted a church there, and I'd met with one gentleman who had polio as a child, and he was from Cupari. He had invited us to go and put water filters in that community. So it took us about three different tries to get into the river. It was really difficult to get in there because it would flood and the channel would plug up with islands. And so eventually we made it there with the boat auto filters, and there was a little baby that was sick. The baby was actually dying, and we were invited over to the house and pray with this baby. And so we went there, and the baby was actually doing a death twitch and very cold. And as soon as we started to pray for the baby turned bright pink and was healthy and did very well. We ended up taking the family back to the city just to make sure that the baby was okay. And the baby made a complete recovery. But on the next trip back, when we put the water filters in, we went to the house of a gentleman. His name was Jesus, and he was the patriarch of the village. And as a result of that trip, I was able to lead him and his wife to the Lord, several of their children and their grandchildren, and we ended up planting a church there. So since then, Jesus and both his wife, they went home to be with the Lord. But it was just phenomenal because it was really through the water filter project that we were able to just go in a real practical way, just love on the people, build relationship, and ended up leading several people to the Lord.
Wow, that is awesome. Woo! Okay, so one more question for Christy. So, Christy, if there's people here who can't physically go to Brazil, what would you say to encourage them as a way that they could support the ministry and your family down there from here?
I think the biggest thing would be just praying for us. Of course, when the word of God is spread, there's a lot of counterattack from the enemy. And so we just always covet your prayers. And that's one way. If you can't come, you can really participate in praying for us, for our children, for the ministry, that God's kingdom would come and his will would be done here. So we really appreciate all of your involvement in every way, the support of the Filter Project and your prayers and sending teams and just you guys being so connected with us. We are so grateful for that.
Amen. That is awesome. Well, we definitely keep your family in prayer. And I just thank you for the partnership that we have with you guys. And I'm looking forward to our team coming down there in June. And together, we can be a blessing. God bless you guys.
And
thank you so much.
How much we love and appreciate you guys. And I just really hope that you guys feel a part of what's going on here in Brazil. Because you guys are definitely a huge part of it. We couldn't do it without you. And we just really love you guys. And just so grateful for our friendship and connection with you folks. So God bless you all.
Amen. Amen. God bless. So that is one of the areas that we will be giving our Easter offering away next Sunday. There's three. I know you've heard us talk about this for the past several weeks, but this is it. This is it. It all boils down to next Sunday, this offering. And we give the entire Easter offering away to three different ministries. One is Brazil. It's $195 for a water filter. Okay? And that is overseen by myself, Richie, there in Brazil. Another one is Haiti. That is where you can, $180 will feed a child for an entire year. Think about that. How much do your groceries cost for a week in your household? I mean, my son is 11, and he probably goes through $180 of cereal. $180 will feed a child for a year in Haiti. I mean, come on, we can do this. And then Vietnam, $50 for a wheelchair. $50 to help somebody get out of a home that they could not get out of because they're bound. They're bound to the ground. They're bound to a mat. So please, be in prayer over what it is that the Lord is leading you to give next week, to one, two, or all three of them. And I believe that we can give sacrificially. I believe that this is something that first of all, this church understands, you guys understand the fact that if you can't go there, your money can. And not only do we meet the humanitarian needs, but in Vietnam, Henry leads a team in Vietnam. It's a communist country, and they're preaching the gospel there. They're preaching the gospel in a communist country. Haiti, we have Steve Fitter. I don't know if he's here today. Steve oversees the Haiti project, feeding children. He has built a nutrition center now. It went from feeding kids on the street out of a bowl to a nutrition center where they can have church services. And again, the humanitarian need is met, and the gospel is preached. And then the same with the Brazil water filters. Clean water. They don't have clean water. They live on the water, but it's not clean to drink out of. And with the humanitarian aid being met, the gospel is preached. So you may not be able to go there physically, but we can do this, church. We can send our money in areas that we can change people's lives in other countries. So please, be in prayer over next week's offering. And together as a church family, let's bless people around the world. Amen? All right. So today, with our Easter offering coming up, I wanted to take a few minutes to talk about giving, to talk about what the Bible says about giving. And before we get into giving, I want to touch on an area of giving that is called the tithe. And tithing is it's the first 10% of our income that we give back to God. And this comes from Malachi chapter 3. This is in the Old Testament. It's the last book in the Old Testament. So if you want to do some studying on this, go to Malachi chapter 3. It's right before the Gospel of Matthew in the New Testament. And you can learn about this. But this is one passage in the Bible where God says, test me in this. Test me in this and see if I don't bless your socks off. That's the 21st century version that I'm going to tell you. But tithing is the 10% of your income that you give to the place where you are spiritually fed. You give to the church that you are being fed at, that you support. And what it does is, I believe God brings an umbrella of protection over your household. That's kind of what this passage is saying here. There's some other areas in the Bible where it speaks of tithing, but this is like the famous one. But also, with that umbrella of protection, when you begin tithing and giving your 10%, okay, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be just fine. You're never going to have financial problems. You're never going to have issues at all. Because we're all going to have problems. Let's face it. That's a fact of life. But here's what will happen. With that umbrella of protection, because of your tithe, when hard times come, God will bring the wisdom and the resources that will see you through it. That's why he says, test me in this. Show me. I will show you how I can take care of you. My wife and I can attest to this, that we are always blown away by the fact that God can take our 90% that's left and stretch it well beyond what we could ever do with our 100%. It's supernatural. And when God moves supernaturally in your life in something that is called a biblical principle, that is where the adventure with God begins. You see, if you want to hear from God, and maybe you're not tithing right now, or maybe you're just kind of wondering, you know, I'm just not too sure about this, you will start hearing from God. Trust me. You will start hearing from God. And you will begin to trust him more. Because you will see that he supernaturally stretches your income. There's no other way that I can explain it but that. So right off the top, that is tithing. That is like the first part of our giving that we should kind of be. The other thing that tithing does as well is, here's what it does. It tells God, I'm in. I am invested in your kingdom, God. I believe in what your word says, and I want you to help me oversee every area of my life. And that's kind of what that does as well. And then tithing and giving beyond the tithe, giving extra, like our Easter offering or any other ministries that may pique your interest, that you're interested in. Giving beyond the tithe. That is again where your adventure in God starts to grow and gets exciting. And this is kind of moving into what I call biblical principle territory. Because a biblical principle is something where the Bible says, if you do this, God will respond in such a manner. If you do this, God will do that. And that's what we're going to look at today. You know, when we understand the principles of giving, some of our greatest adventures with God will take place. I can attest to that. I can promise you that. You know, when my wife and I first got married, and we would give to, like, say, the Easter offering or something, I would have a number, and she would have a number, and then we'd kind of haggle it down and figure out what number was the best one we want to work with. And then we started understanding the biblical principle of giving, and now we don't even question it. That seems like a kind of a big number. Yeah, but God will take care of us. God takes care of us. And I will show you how that works. So we're going to read a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation today because I kind of like the way this one says it. My go-to is the New King James, but then right behind it is the NLT. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, and this is, as the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor, their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat.
In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources, then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. So this is really what this all boils down to, is trust. Do you trust God? Do you trust what God's word says? I take a passage like this, and this is what goes into the area of biblical principles. God says, if you do this, I'll respond in this manner. So for instance, what this passage just started out by saying is the farmer who just throws a few seed out in his field and expects the entire field to create a generous harvest when it's ready is foolish. It isn't going to happen that way. He's got to scatter seed across the entire field. He's got to be generous if he wants to get a generous crop. And see, that is how the kingdom of God works. We can't give little and expect much back. For instance, if I invest $10 into some stocks and my friend invests $100 into some stocks, who's going to get the bigger return? My friend that invested the $100 because I only put $10 in. If you invest little, you will get little back. If you invest generously, you will get much back. It's the same with biblical principles, and that's what this is saying. Now, you may be sitting here and you may be thinking, well, it's really hard for us to kind of to give generously because in our household we're barely making ends meet. We have bills, we have this, we have that, we have food, we have, you know, it's our finances don't stretch that far. Well, here's what I say to you. That's okay. Because first of all, in the tithe, God said, test me in this. He'll stretch your finances. But look at verse 7. Verse 7 says that it is our attitude that is about giving. You see, verse 7 says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. The condition of our heart is more important to God than how much we give. You see, there are people that have a much bigger income than others. But it's the condition of our heart when we give. What is your heart saying when you give? I don't want to do this. I'm not going to do it. I want to be a blessing. I'm going to do all I can. I'm going to dig deep and make it happen. When we give with a cheerful attitude, the Bible follows it up in verse 8 by saying, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Plenty left over to share with others. Again, I'm not saying that you know, hey, I'm going to give this one time and the Bible says I'm going to have enough to share with everybody else. But it's sometimes it's a trust issue. We've got to trust God with our money. We have to be able to say, God, your word says that this is what's going to happen. So I need to trust that you're going to take care of this. And when you do, I promise you, it's almost like the heavens open and the blessings pour out. You know, when we are generous with what we have, God says, I will give more to you to share with others. More what? More money? Maybe. More wisdom? More knowledge? More time? There's all kinds of mores in there. But I'll tell you what God will do more than anything. He will take care of you. He will take care of you. And I'll show you why. So, again, this is a biblical principle. If we do this, God will do that. And personally, I kind of like the way it sounds. I want to have more to share with others. And God says, if you do this, you will have more to share with others. You see, the more we invest into the kingdom of God, the more blessings will come back in return. That's what this is saying. Do we give to expect a return? No. We don't give to expect a return. But we give out of the goodness of our heart because we are thankful for what God has done for us. The way I look at it, everything that we have in our home belongs to God. Everything that comes in is because of what God has done for us. And so everything that goes out is because of what God is doing for us. That's the way we see it. That's the way I live my life. Did it happen overnight? No. But it's trust. You got to trust in God to move like that. Because, look, let's finish it up with verse 10. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. God is the one that provides the income that comes into your house and the food that gets put on your table. It all comes from God. If you are a believer in Jesus, everything you have comes from him, and everything that goes out is because you are thankful for what he has done for you. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Do you want to know why and how that happens? Because when you start giving more and investing more into God's kingdom, you see what starts coming back in return, the blessings, and you want to give more because you are happy about what God has done for you, and you want other people to be able to share in that happiness. And let me just say something that I, the way I look at these blessings, a lot of times, I don't even know that hard times were supposed to come my way. Because God saw hard times coming, and he said, you know what? Not today. Chip's going to walk free through this week. That hardship is not going to affect him. Think of all the things that possibly could have happened to you that you don't even know about because God said, I don't think so. I want my son, I want my daughter to experience joy this week. I want to keep them safe and protected from harm's way this week. That's the kind of blessings that we can receive. So, everything that we have comes from God. All of our income comes from God. If we call ourselves believers in Jesus, the jobs that we have, the money that we make, the resources that come from that come into our past, and everything that goes out. God gives us the resources to give back to his kingdom. And when we give back, he will continue to pour his blessings into our lives. And these blessings can be a number of things. It can be financial breakthrough. You know, if you're sitting here and you're thinking, we're hardly making ends meet, it's possible that God says, yeah, but you're not investing. It's possible. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, I can work this out. This gets worked out. It could be healing. It could be a restoration in relationships. It could be answer to prayer. It could be a loved one coming into God's kingdom that you've been praying for years. The blessings are a number of things. And then for those who do understand the principle of giving and the grace of God, giving becomes a way of life. It's almost like you want to try to outgive God because he's constantly pouring his blessings into your life. And you're happy about that. It brings joy in knowing that all areas of your life are taken care of because God has you covered. God sees our giving as proof of our love for him, proof of our trust in him. And you may not be able to go to any of these countries that Vineyard Community Church supports. You may not be able to physically go to them, but we can send gifts. We can send an offering. You see, your money that you give to these ministries, do you know what it becomes to the person who on the receiving end? A gift. Have you ever been given something for free and you're like, are you serious? Think of yourself being bound to the floor in a communist country and somebody says, we got free wheelchairs for you. Think about constantly being sick, living on the waters, not knowing why you're sick, not being able to get clean water, and somebody says, we got a free water filter for you. I can teach you how to get clean water. Think about being a hungry child in Haiti and somebody says, you get food for a year. Our giving becomes a gift to the person on the receiving end of our Easter offering. and our giving glorifies God because it acknowledges that everything we have belongs to Him. So what we have, we can give as a gift to people in other countries. Our giving goes to a country where the gospel cannot be preached, where people are bound to their homes in Vietnam. Our giving goes to a country where people live on the rivers and do not have clean drinking water, Brazil. Our giving goes to a country where children do not have food to eat, Haiti. And this Easter, our offering, the gifts that we give, will bring the love of Jesus to somebody who doesn't feel loved at all. Amen? Amen? So in closing, you may not have the means to physically go to any of these countries, but we've all got something that we can give, that we can send as a gift. And so I want to encourage you to be in prayer over the offering this Easter, so that our gift to the person on the receiving end can become a blessing. And with that gift, the gospel will be preached. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Amen. So listen, while I was worshiping, I just felt like the Lord wanted to speak to a few people here. One, maybe a couple people in particular, but one of them was in the area of giving. And I just felt like there's some people in here that are like, it sounds good, but I have a hard time taking that step. It really sounds good, but I have a hard time with that. And what I want to do here in a minute is I just want you to raise your hand and show me where you're at, if that pertains to you. Because here's why I believe raising your hand, here's what I believe that does. Okay? I know sometimes you got to force yourself to do it. But here's what it does. It publicly says to God, I want the change. I want the change to happen. And I believe that right now there is a supernatural breakthrough for some of you in your finances. You know, and basically it's the trust. Do I trust God to do what His Word says? So if that pertains to anybody, does that speak to anybody here today? Does that in the back? Amen. Thank you for raising your hand. Amen. Does that pertain to anybody else over here? Amen. Over here? Show me your hands. Over here? Amen. Anybody else? Let me see your hands. Back in the back? Just hold them up high, because I believe that God has a blessing for you. I believe that God has a blessing for you in the area of giving, because this is a biblical principle thing. And listen, the guys on TV have put a bad name on this. You know, right? But this is God-ordained principle living. And when you get that understanding, breakthrough happens. So thank you for raising your hands. All of you that raised your hands, I want to pray a blessing over you right now. Just hold your hands up. Receive this blessing that God has for you. Lord God, I just pray a blessing over those who have their hands raised, God. Father, I pray some of you will receive supernatural wisdom in the area of giving and your finances. Some of you will receive something that just blows you away because of your openness and your willingness to raise your hand. God, I thank you for that. I thank you, God, for the blessings that you have for the church today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And then I had a particular word for somebody here, and it was this. You feel suffocated in life. You know, like we sang that song, whom the sun sets free is free indeed, but you don't know what that freedom feels like. And God wants to set you free from that today. Does that pertain to anybody in here? Amen. 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 Anybody else? So that's just not just one person. Amen. Man, God wants to change your lives. You know, this is what this is. It's called a word of knowledge. It means that the Lord gave me something about something you guys were thinking about and hurting over and struggling with, and He wants to set you free today and change your lives. Amen. Put your hands up. Receive the blessing that God has for you. Jesus, I thank you for that.
God, for those that raise their hands, no longer will they be bound to what it is they are being bound by. But you break those chains, God. You bring freedom, God. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Only Jesus can set you free the way that you can be set free. What you're looking for, only Jesus can provide for you. And I thank you for that, God. Bless them, Jesus. Bless them, God. Father, may they have the best week they've ever had, God. Bless them in Jesus' name. Thank you for this, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right, so I'm not going to stop there. We're just going to do one more because all this hand raising gets me going. But listen, there is freedom in Jesus, right? And leading up to this next Sunday, Jesus provided all the freedom that we could ever have. And so if you are here today and you don't have that freedom in Jesus, you don't have a life with Jesus, and you're like, I don't even know why I'm here. My friend invited me. But you want what you see happening here today. I want to ask you to raise your hand, and we're going to pray. We're going to invite God's presence into your life, and you will be set free. And everything, God will take care of everything. That's why I'm here. So if that pertains to you, can I see where you're at? Is there anybody here that wants to say, Jesus, today's the day? Today, is it in the back? In the back there? Amen. Hold your hand up high. Amen. Good for you. Amen. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Anybody else here today? Because this is it, man. This is big deal stuff right here. This is encounter with God stuff right here. That's why you felt God wants to be in your life. And God wants to show you the best life you never even imagined. It's an adventure. So just say this prayer with me all together. Let's pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for meeting me today. I would like for you to begin life with me, to show me what it means to be a child of God. Thank you for calling me out today. And I praise you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so if anybody, yes, let's do this. Woo! God is good, right? So listen, for those of you that raised your hands, we will have some people back there at that Next Step table who will be ready to pray for you, especially the sister in the back that raised her hand there for Jesus. And any of you that raised your hand that you feel bound and you want some extra prayer, or you just want to know a little bit more about this giving thing, we'll have people at the Next Step table who can pray with you.